Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KU Report. Getting an update from Nevada King Gold. We're going to be recapping some recent drill results as well as some metallurgical testing results and a quick comment on the company closing the recently oversubscribed private placement for just under $10 million. I'm chatting with Colin Cattell, founder and CEO of Nevada King Gold. Nevada King Gold is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NKG and on the OTCQX under the symbol NKGFF. Colin, let's start off with the metallurgical test results. This news was released at the tail end of March, March 26th. I know a lot of my listeners have been following along with this story, but also wondering about some of the metallurgical test results. So this is very important when you are looking at any potential economics for projects, especially when you're looking at open pit potential mineralization. You had a couple scenarios that you outlined in that news, a processing plant scenario, as well as a heap leach scenario. Colin, give us an overview of the results from this met testing, please.
Happy to, Corey. Thanks for having me back on the program. We've been working on the metallurgy for quite some time, and there's two very important components when you're exploring. One is, of course, identifying mineralization and starting to build scale on that side. But the second one is making sure that in a future potential mining scenario, there is an economic route towards extracting the gold. And that's what our phase one metallurgical program has set out to do and is now accomplished. We've been working with a guy by the name of Gary Simmons. Gary was the head of all of Newmont's metallurgy and process engineering for 20 years before he retired. And since then, he's been working in his retirement on many of the Nevada metallurgical programs that have been ongoing for the past 10 or 15 years. And Gary is as experienced as they come. So he brought him in a couple of years ago and he designed this program. And essentially what we were looking to do is to figure out what's the best route to create a design flow sheet for gold mineralization that we're identifying at Atlanta. It's worth remembering that Atlanta is a past producing gold mine. There was about 100,000 ounces that were extracted there. And that was done through an open pit, which is still present at the project now. And at the time they were doing milling on some fairly high grade mineralization. But there's also mid-grade and lower-grade mineralization at Atlanta. And especially as we get down deeper, there's quite a bit of it in the volcanic-hosted mineralization we've been drilling off to the west. So we wanted to look at all those different areas and figure out, what do we do? Is there the potential for heap leaching? Heap leaching is your most economic, most inexpensive form of extraction, typically. And if you can get a heap leachable project, that is a Nevada project through and through and something that is typically highly coveted. So that's exactly what we've laid out, essentially high-grade mineralization from both of the zones, the one closer to surface being in that harder silica breccia rock, and the zone that's deeper down hosted in the softer volcanics. The high-grade would both be milled from both those zones, and then there'd be slightly different processing for the two zones, but on the low and mid grade, they would both report to a heap leach. And so this checks a huge box for us with Nevada King. We've had great success on exploration over the last couple of years, and we've been eagerly awaiting getting this process design flow sheet that gives us the confidence to continue moving forward and looking at this as a potential open pit scenario. I haven't done justice to the process, but what we did is we put out a video. It's about 8 minutes long. And you can find it on our Nevada King Gold YouTube page where Gary Simmons actually walks through the results. And if anybody wants more details, I would say that's the very best place to go and take a look at that video to get the full walkthrough from Gary himself.
So just to simplify it for everybody, when you're looking at an open pit and you're looking at these type of metallurgical test results with these different scenarios, when it comes to cost profile for production, where do you favor? What do you need to balance out between the higher cost processing, what that should give higher recoveries, versus that lower cost processing, but at least it's lower cost, but might give lower recoveries?
Yeah, essentially, we've known that the project is oxide hosted, and oxide opens up the potential for that inexpensive heap leach technology. And heap leaching is really what brought Nevada into this large status gold gold center since the 70s when heat bleaching really became revolutionized. And that's something that we were hoping that Atlanta had the potential for. And that just means that you can take that lower grade material with very minimal processing, sometimes literally just digging it out and throwing it into a pile. On the heat bleach pile, you can extract the gold mineralization. And so that's what we've now confirmed, that much of the mineralization at Atlanta is heat bleach amenable, and that's integral in the flow sheet now.
So, Colin, when we look at some of these results, like the heat bleach scenario, you got 87.1% for gold hosted in volcanics. And when you're looking at some crush composites, a weighted average there of 71.4% extracted from low-grade silica breccias. How does this compare to other mines, let's say, in the area?
Gary talks a good bit about this because he's seen everything under the sun. And what he says is what we have at Atlanta is traditional Nevada oxide. But he does say that there's many different flavors, many different profiles that make up that category of traditional, conventional Nevada oxide. There are other situations he's worked on specifically where he sees a lot of similarities. He did a lot of work on Gold Standard Ventures project a few years ago, and they have a lot of their mineralization hosted in a silica breccia rock. So that's a hard rock. And so there's a lot of similarities that he saw there. What's really exciting for us is as you get further into the west area, into that volcanic hosted mineralization, where you have less processing needs, that looks like a lot of that material would be run-of-mine heat bleach. And as you stated, we're looking in the 80% for extraction potential over on in that area. And that area does make up a significant portion of the mineralization that we've been drilling.
Where were a lot of these samples taken for this met work across this Atlanta project?
Yeah, we put a couple figures in the release that we put out. And so there's two cross sections, AA and BB. And if you look at those, there's essentially core holes that we drilled across both of the volcanic hosted area and the silica breccia hosted area. And it shows where all the samples were taken. So there was three bulk samples and I believe 19 variability composites that Gary put together. And there's always tweaking that's going to be done and ongoing work to continue to refine. And to that point, we're doing a phase two program right now. We've already done all of the core drilling that's going to work its way into the phase two program. And that's just going to help us to better essentially figure out the metallurgical components that would go into particular parts of the mineralized zones. But we wouldn't expect any significant difference from what we've seen here.
Okay. When do you expect those results to come out then from this phase two met testing?
It's a lengthy process. I think we're probably looking at the beginning of 2025 to get the phase two program out. But I wouldn't look at it with the same level of significance per se as the market probably was looking at the phase one program, where phase one and phase two ideally are going to be relatively similar and you're going to be working off the same process flow sheet.
All right. Let's talk then about the recent drill results, April 3rd. When I was talking to you off mic, I really do want to spend more time big picture on these results, but you highlighted that some of these holes were core holes and why it matters that you were drilling core holes over some of the RC holes. Take us through what it was significant about the core hole results here.
Sure. The core holes that we've been drilling are primarily for the phase one and phase two metallurgical program. But what it also allows you to do is confirm nearby reverse circulation holes. Reverse circulation drilling is a lot less expensive, and it's the common drilling method in Nevada. So a lot of jurisdictions, you would not use RC for various reasons that we won't get into in this conversation, but it's very, very helpful in Nevada, and it's something we've been relying on. But you also need core holes, both for the metallurgy and for confirmation of the RC. And some funny things can happen with reverse circulation drilling, like you can get downhole contamination or just not as good of controls on the zones, or if you're drilling through veins that you're getting. What we've been seeing, not just in the core hole that we released on April 3rd, but also in past core holes we put out, is we're getting good confirmation on nearby RC holes. What I mean by that is overall composite lengths are pretty similar. We're able to line up the zones if there's high grade zones that are In the drilling, you can kind of look at the two holes side by side, which we've done in this most recent release, and show that those high grade zones generally link up. This particular core hole is only 6 or 7 meters from the RC hole, and it actually exhibited a 60% increase in grade. So we got 4.5 grams per ton over 86 meters, whereas the original hole was running 2.45 grams over 100 meters. So you can see there's a depending on where you are in the project, and as you get near these higher grade feeders, you can get a significant change over a short area in terms of the grade. But we got all of the phase two metallurgical core holes drilled, so that's great for that program, and we're now starting to see the results of those, and they're confirming generally the reverse circulation holes that we've put in, and that gives us great confidence on everything we've been working on.
There's another point within that news release that I want you to elaborate on that talks about a couple feeder zones. It says at least two high-grade feeder zones appear to be responsible for this mineralized zone, the one that's being talked about within that news release. Everyone likes hearing about feeder zones because they do carry higher grade. What are you able to do in terms of now target some of these feeder zones, and how many in total have you found on the project?
Yeah, so this particular zone that we're focused on in the last press release is something we've referred to as the northwest target area. And now that we've got some more holes into it, we're seeing it's got a pretty good scale to it. So it's about 150 meters north-south, and then it runs anywhere from 25 up to 60 meters east-west. As you drill down into it, what we were referring to in terms of the two zones is your high grade tends to be focused in two areas, two elevations, towards the top of where you get into the mineralization and then towards the bottom. And so, if you don't drill through the entire mineralized zone, you oftentimes can underrepresent the amount of gold that is potentially there because quite a bit of the gold is found in the bottom 10, 15, or 20 meters of the zone. So, we're really focused on making sure that we get holes that are getting completed and making it through that fractured and fragmented rock. But yeah, you're correct. We've put out some of the assays that make up this zone, and aside from the one I just read off, which we released, that area also has that whole 108 meters of 11.6 grams per ton that we put out last year. We also have a hole in there that's 41 meters of 6 grams per ton, 115 meters of 1.7 grams per ton. So there's quite a bit of grade in the thick area in there. There's a couple other areas throughout the Atlanta system where we've honed into high grade zones or areas. One of them's down in the south, so where the South Fault runs and crosses the West Atlanta Fault. And then there's another one that we had released and talked about on the last podcast we did over on the Atlanta Mine Fault Zone, where we had just put out another three or four angle holes where we were continuing to chase that. So we know that there's several areas. This isn't a one-off occurrence at Atlanta. There's several areas at these structural intersections where we can find blowouts of high grade. And it's very important to go in and be able to figure out the scale of that and put together a proper drill pattern in there so that you can eventually estimate and try to figure out, what kind of a component that high grade will have in the overall system.
All right, let's talk about more drill strategy here, something that I did want to get to from this last news release. Because, look, Nevada King, very active with the drill. And you and I have talked about in the past some of the spacings in these certain areas. But what people always want to know is growth. And even in that last news release, you did talk about a couple gaps being filled in through the drilling. But how are you balancing out the drilling this year when it comes to expansion, stepping outside of where you currently have drilled versus filling in gaps?
Great question. We're striking a balance, or we're attempting to strike a balance between the two because we see great importance in both of those two things. One thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to prove up the core Atlanta system, and we're trying to show that as proof of concept that we have a strongly mineralized system with good grade, with the metallurgy component in. Now we'd like to show that we have a design flow sheet that's going to make that potentially economic if you were to move towards a future mining scenario. And we, of course, still have work to do to fully prove that, but that's what the drilling in that core area has been doing. It's also been teaching us a lot about how the rest of not just immediate areas in the vicinity of the Atlanta Pit, but also looking at the broader caldera, which is a 6 kilometer wide, essentially ring, where we know that gold mineralization can form, and that's responsible for depositing the gold mineralization we're drilling at Atlanta. We've learned a lot about how this all forms, and we are going to take that knowledge, and we are taking that knowledge to go and try to find more mineralization. The second thing we're doing, though, is we're stepping out. And at this point, if we look north, south, east, and west, we are open for expansion directly in the vicinity of Atlanta. The most immediate area that we're going to be going to is the East Ridge target. And we've been talking about this for quite some time. It's been difficult to get roads up onto the East Ridge, but we're just about there. And so we're going to bring a drill up there in the next few weeks, and we're going to finally get a row of 10 or 15 holes up there and see if the East Ridge target is a host for gold mineralization. And that could have big implications for opening up mineralization over the east. We have done quite a bit of drilling in that new area to the north extension target. We've now put about 75 holes up there. That's a brand new area. And so we're continuing, as assays come back, to go in and fill in areas. We can see where the grade is, where the grade isn't, and we continue to chase those vectors. And then to the south, we've talked quite a bit about that South Quartzite Ridge target. Basically, we've got a kilometer and a half that's completely undrilled moving to the south. And the reason it's undrilled is there's a ridge there called the South Quartzite Ridge. We know from our drilling that goes immediately up to the South Quartzite Ridge that mineralization is open. And we also know from historic drilling a kilometer and a half south that there is mineralization down a kilometer and a half south, but there's no information in between. So we're working right now on getting road access, and this is something over the next few months where we think we could see some significant blue sky potential with success. So that's something I'm very eager to drill. And then finally, over to the west, we're continuing to chase mineralization where we've had success stepping out into that West Atlanta Graben as we hit the West Atlanta Fault and the West Atlanta Fault number one and the number two fault. And then the question becomes, is there a number three fault and a number four fault, et cetera? So we're going to figure that out. We're going to try to figure out as much of that as we can this year by continuing to aggressively drill.
Okay, so this is all coming this year then. What's the allocation of capital that you're putting towards, let's say, these new targets and then these further off extension targets?
Yeah, we're probably about 50-50 in terms of the capital that we're allocating. In terms of our burn rate right now, we're probably looking at about $1 million a month. We, depending on drill rig suitability and availability and the targets that we're hitting at any particular moment, we've kind of been going between 2 rigs up to 4 rigs. And there's been several times where we've gone back and forth depending on seasons as well. So we're going to be quite aggressive. And we were talking before the show started, you said, you know, with gold prices moving up, does that change anything? And my answer was, well, if capital becomes available at less dilutive prices, that always bodes well for being more aggressive with the drill bit. So we'll see as the gold bull market that seems to be starting continues and what it means for equity coming into the space and our share price. And we've got a lot to see, but exciting year ahead here, it looks like.
All right. Thanks for sharing that information. I'm asking everybody right now, this better environment, is it changing work plans? Let's also talk about cash in the bank for the company. You recently closed that oversubscribed private placement for just under $10 million Canadian. That was at the tail end of March. How much cash does the company have to keep going with all this drilling?
We are just shy of the $10 million bucks that we raised, so we're in a good position. It's going to keep us going for several months. And if we see a window of capital flooding into the exploration space, we can always assess things differently. But we've been very fortunate over the last 2 to 3 years, while capital has not been very friendly for exploration, that we've been able to get capital and put it to good use and continue finding gold. So we're going to keep trying to do the same thing.
Okay. Colin, thank you very much for this update. I'll post a link to the Nevada King Gold website. You can read over those recent news releases we discussed and send me any questions you have for Colin for our future interviews. Colin, thanks again for your time. We'll chat again soon.
As always, thank you so much, Corey.